Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, have you missed us? We are back. This is Ultimate Couch Fans. That chuckling on the other end of the line. I'm Christian O'Connell. Is my co-presenter Brian Lacey, who is currently, you were in Australia, you're now at your brother's place in Dubai, then you go to Moscow, I presume commentating for ACB?
That's correct, mate. Yeah, doing that. Excuse me, just take another sip of my mojito there. Wait a second.
This guy.
Oh, no, mate, that was delicious.
Well, you're opening up another grappling school out there in Dubai, aren't you? You and a couple of sheikhs wrestling for cash.
That's right. I have got my hijab on right now, and it's hot. I'm telling you, it's hot under here, mate. The hijab is hiding a lot of sweat.
And how was Australia?
Mate, Australia is awesome. What a country.
Great country, isn't it?
What a great... it's a wonderful place, wonderful people, and we had the first event there on the golf course, and it was really good, mate. Really good fun, really good fights, and hopefully, fingers crossed, rumours are we might be going back 2 times next year, so that's all good for me and my tan.
All right, then, so this is going to be like a review of the year. We're going to talk about our favourite fights, KOs, submissions, some of which, I don't know what you've got, may have been in the last couple of weeks, might have helped that. And also what we think about next year, our heroes and villains, and our fighter of the year. And then the Samster's going to have his review as well. Before that, though, there's actually been quite a bit of action just the last couple of weeks. So this weekend, obviously, the big thing to talk about is a poor cub. Swanson against Brian Ortega. What an amazing guillotine.
The rise of Brian Ortega has been amazing. For 5 fights now, 5 finishes. And the way he does it, he absorbs so much punishment.
Yeah, well, he's kind of losing. I've never seen him actually win a round, and yet he's got this amazing win streak, because I saw John Kavanagh refer to it yesterday. When someone's that good at submissions, it's like a knockout artist. It just takes a split second, and that's it. It's done. And that's what happened. Cub Swanson was lighting him up on the first round. He was winning it, and Cub looked absolutely brilliant. His footwork looks great. I loved it. And then it wasn't even like Cub Swanson's neck was low, like he was going for a takedown. He just kind of snaked it round, then jumped up, and then when he re-gripped it as well, it was amazing.
There was something special the way he set that up, and like you said, re-grip when you're not on the floor, you are being held up by your thighs and one arm, you re-grip it, and then to get the submission. The warning shot was fired at the end of the first round. The anaconda was set up when standing as well. That was something to behold. But you said it exactly right. Every fight he's been in, he gets an absolute beat. In the Clay Guida fight, he was on the back foot for most of it.
He was losing the entire fight.
Exactly that. And he's got this jiu-jitsu, this killer weapon that he just brings out at the end of the fight or somewhere after his boxing's pretty good. He's actually got a great chin on him as well. But those submissions, he has got to be. He's, for me, he is surpassing Damian Maia as the most dangerous jiu-jitsu player.
Yeah, I think it's been a while that we've seen someone as exciting as that since, I think, early sort of primetime Maia, and I think he might even be more of an exciting draw as well. What do you think then as well, also on the thing, Max Holloway beating Aldo for the second time? I like Ortega versus Holloway for a fight next year.
Oh, without a doubt. Ortega versus Holloway, Ortega versus Frankie Edgar.
Yep.
Either one of those is absolutely mouthwatering. The other thing that has come off the back of that, so that he went to Dana White, this is Ortega, at the end of that fight, and everybody thought he was going to be calling for a title shot or the typical thing, doing the belt sign around his waist. And he gets back on the mic and he goes, no, I just wanted to reach out and see if I could find anybody with money who can help me help kids less fortunate than me get better life. That for me, it's another one. He's got a great style. He's a great personality. His Instagram is fantastic. You watch him. He's a real California surf hippie. He goes out on the beach. He's training.
Yeah, he comes across as just a really nice, big-hearted, warm guy. And I even noticed when, because it was a horrible submission, and you could see Kamsol's kind of, you know, he's a tough guy, and has been in some real wars as well, but he kind of, you know, he said afterwards, he kind of shit his pants. And I don't think in a kid, I don't think in a Kish kind of way, but you see him trying to rub his chest, Bri, where he was trying to just check his heart was still moving and the guy was all right. And also, were you also shouting at the referee? Normally, those camera angles are amazing in that cage, right? We always see the knockout, the submission. But the great big back, I've forgotten who the referee was, obscured the best angle, didn't he? I was going, get out the way! And also the ref had to be there. I was going, get out the way, an enormous back. It's the size of my TV.
That's the ref with the beard. Is that the ref with the stupid beard?
I think so, yeah. Stupid beard. Did you see Frank Trigg working? You know, he's refereeing now. Frank Trigg, the former fighter. He's refereeing now. Yes, honest, straight up.
I absolutely love that, mate. I didn't see that because I watched the only fight I saw on that card was the Ortega fight. I watched it just before I got on the plane back over. But that's awesome. Frank Trigg is in the cage.
Yeah.
But refereeing, that's it. Yeah.
But I think I'd like to see more older fighters, Bri, rather than sticking around too long, to go into sort of that kind of mentoring or that kind of role. I'd like to see all former fighters. You can only be a referee if you were like a legend.
I like that. You should be able to get more judges, more people around the sport in the commission that were in the sport. Although there are some people that you've got to be able to push to the side, because I heard Chris Lieben wanted to move into officiating.
Yeah, they're like with everything. There's always an exception, okay? Not Chris Lieben, no.
Not Chris Lieben, mate. No, he would get involved.
Draw the line there, okay? And then, shall we leave Francis Ngannou? Because I think we're going to be talking about that punch and that knockout very soon in kind of our favourite bits of the year, yeah? All right, well, look, let's get into then our review of the year. First of all, Bri, how do you think this year's been UFC-wise for you?
Hey, to use the old cliche, mate, I think it's been a game of two halves for the UFC. Jumpers for goalposts and all that. But I really do feel like the second half of the year, and even when we're talking about these cards that have snuck up on us, like the Holloway versus Aldo this weekend with Robbie Lawler versus Dos Anjos, this second half of the year from August onwards has been one of the greatest runs of UFC fight cards, fight matchups. Big fights, huge stories. Whereas the first half of the year, I'm so glad it's been this way around, because it's almost made us forget how bad that first half of the year was. I even went back through some of the cards before, and it's just, for me, it feels like the UFC is now getting back to where it needs to be, what it needs to do, and that's the momentum I want to see it carry into 2018. So for me, I'm happy we're at where we're at, but it's that first half of the year, everybody was still asking those questions about WIMG, what they want, what they're going to do. But overall, mate, I think you can't argue that it has been one of the most fascinating, one of the most interesting, and with us doing the podcast as well, just being able to talk about all the stuff that's gone on. I've enjoyed it, and it's been a roller coaster.
It's funny you say two halves. That's exactly what I wrote down, because I remember the first half of the year, we were very critical. All proper fans were, long-term fans were critical of the way it was being run. And then I think, post-August, I think then the last couple of months have been the most exciting in years. There have been so many great unexpected fights, titles changing hands, some fantastic fights, some really, really good entire cards, some that have surprised us, some really big emerging stars. Paul Felder at the weekend, not only is he a great fighter, but he's getting better and better in front of the camera all the time. He's great.
His interviews were great as well. Real natural. Yep. Absolute natural. And it sounds, when you know he's got the acting background, he's been a performer for a long time, it sounds...
Yeah, because that always makes a huge difference, doesn't it? You know, because, Joe Rogan did rep for a couple of years, didn't he, at the Old Vic? He's off now. Here we go. One. I thought he was almost too sensible for the last 10 minutes. He's got that acting background. Whoa! Do you have seen live at the Old Vic?
Not with Kevin Spacey, obviously. That was,
no, really not the spaceman. No.
But yeah. If you've never seen Joe Rogan play Oliver,
it's incredible. I think he's in. Isn't he at Woking Panto this year? No, he's a genie. Sorry, he's the genie.
That's right. Yeah, well, he stepped in for Uriah Faber. Remember? That's right. That's it.
I agree. Yeah, I think that the last couple of months, and do you know what? When you talk about August and the kind of tipping point when it got back to being what we used to love about it, maybe there were teething problems in the fight. Yeah, I think the whole Conor thing is the thing that's caused this. The moment that fight was done, I think then the UFC kind of had a bit of a monkey off its back. And what's been great about the last 4 months is Conor hasn't fought, yet he's still the biggest star in the UFC and in combat sports. And we're still talking about him, even though he hasn't fought for a couple of months and what he's been up to. Where do you even begin what he's been up to the last couple of weeks? What? Falling out with the Irish mafia? A price on his head? It sounds like a Liam Neeson movie. What's going on?
He did slap a commissioner, remember? That was one thing. So he semi got into the Bellator cage for a scrap. But it's crazy. And I think you're absolutely right. I think once that fight, and we're going to get into all this sort of stuff with the awards for the fighter story and all that sort of stuff of the year. But once that muddy water had cleared and we got back to the UFC being the UFC, it's made a huge difference. It's made a huge difference. But there are still ramifications from that I think are going to affect the next 6 to 12 months of what happens with the fighters and the UFC itself.
All right. What is your fight of the year?
Now, mate, I'm a classic for this, so I do all these golden mentions and all that sort of stuff. I'm going to reach out and I'm going to say honorary mentions have to go to Joshua Klitschko, because that, for me, the reminiscing about the heavyweight years gone by and seeing Anthony Joshua do that in the boxing ring on such a big stage was fantastic. Nathaniel Wood versus Josh Reed in Cage Warriors is one of the most crazy fights I have seen.
Brilliant fight.
In a very, very long time. But my fight of the year is going to Cowboy Oliveira and Yancy Medeiros.
Yeah.
This was a couple of weeks ago, and I just think it summed everything up I love about this sport. It's on the undercard, so it's in the prelims. It's two fighters with no media heat behind them, no pressure on their shoulders about what's coming next, title shots, all that stuff. They just got in there, and from the moment the first bell sounded, they went to war. They went back and forth, and for Medeiros to survive that first round, to come back and cause the damage he did do to get the win over Charles Oliveira in the style he did, that is my fight of the year, my friend.
Yeah, that was fight of the year. Same for me as well. And do you know what's really nice? Do you know what's been really interesting this year? There's been a couple of really, really great fights on the undercards and the prelims. There's been some really, really good... There is at the moment, I think... You know, they're worried about, obviously, there's no John Jones and Conor McGregor. Is he coming back? Is he, you know, what's he doing? Is he going to fight Manny Pacquiao? No one wants that. Luckily, everyone's forgotten about Paulie Malignaggi. Let's wake him up. But the thing is, I think there's some really, really exciting fighters right now. There's some really, really exciting talent in a lot of the divisions. But for me, so yeah, that's definitely fight of the year. I'd also have to say, in terms of event fight of the year, it's not Mayweather and McGregor. For me, it was the return of GSP and Bisping. It was one of those fights where I was almost breathless, like, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Can he do it? And in terms of an actual event where it becomes bigger than just two guys fighting, there's so much on it. It's almost dramatic. There's something amazing about it. And watching that, and just what an amazing end and violent end it was to it as well. That would be more kind of an event fight of the year. And if I had to pick one fight that actually, in terms of combat fighting, in terms of boxing and UFC and MMA, it would be the Joshua Klitschko fight. Because actually, do you know what I really like seeing? It's not when it's a one-sided beating or something like that, or someone getting sparked out immediately, although that's usually enjoyable, as you saw, you know, recently. It's actually someone being really, really tested and someone showing us something that they've got deep down in them. And to Joshua Klitschko, it was... it's been a while since the heavyweight division has seen a fight like that, and I think boxing has seen a fight like that. And I thought that was just an incredible incredible fight. Incredible fight. I love that. That, for me, would be overall fight of the year because it just had so much to it. It was so dramatic. And two great competitors as well. And AJ's really, really exciting. He's got a tough couple of years ahead of him in terms of what he does next. But in terms of just a fight with so much and AJ really, really being tested and coming through it and almost being out. And I think a younger Klitschko probably would have finished him in the fifth round, but that's not the way it went. So that would be it for me. But yeah, in terms of UFC, same as you, and then also just that GSP fight against Bisping.
Love it, absolutely. And I think as when you talk, just you talking about that Klitschko fight with Joshua just gave me tingles again because it was it's massive for the heavyweight division. It reignited it. It's now meant there's so many options as far as what he does next that are interesting that we want to see, that we want to find out what happens. But it was that classic thing, old guard.
It was like a Rocky fight,
young lion taking on the old lion as well. It was an absolute Rocky fight, and boxing, that was my fight of the year for boxing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally agree with what you say with all the others as well.
And talking about a boxing, I don't know if you see this, but on Instagram earlier today, Brian, Sylvester Stallone said really big news about the new Creed movie, Creed 2, and then he had a picture of Sylvester Stallone fighting Brock Lesnar in the cage. I've got a feeling that they've signed up Brock Lesnar to be in the new Creed movie. I hope so.
Oh,
can you imagine how bad his acting's going to be?
Oh, Jesus, mate. That is awful and brilliant at the same time.
It's both of those.
And exciting. On so many levels, I almost want to put the phone down and get Instagram up just to see this picture now. But
you need to see the photo. Off, it's an incredible. It's quite poor photoshopping. You know, Stallone's it's an Oscar winning. He's got money. Can't some kid do that for him? Yeah. It's really, really basic Photoshop. It's nasty.
Has he got Morning Matt working for him?
He has. Yeah, he has got some clip art in there as well. It's a nice job. I honestly, unless he's doing his own kind of Rocky movie with Brock Lesnar called Brocky, which I hope happens, I'd love to see that.
Oh, mate, that's brilliant.
let's start a GoFundMe campaign for the movie Brocky, even if Stallone doesn't want to do it. Let's make it. All right, let's move on now to... let's go on to card of the year. Now, for me, Bri, card of the year, there have been some really, really good ones that have just, all the fights have been great. I think it's really hard to go beyond UFC 217 with three new champions, GSP, TJ Dillashaw, and Rose. I just thought that whole card, they were great fights, and all three of the speeches were humble, big-hearted ones at the end. This has been the year of really just everyone calling each other out, the swearing, the trash-talking, too much homophobia for 2017. There was something amazingly violent about all those fights, but also something really humane and warm at the end with some real humour moments, and I don't think there's been enough of that in the UFC this year. But that UFC 217 was an amazing night of fighting.
Yeah, I think you're slightly off mark, mate. You are missing. It's a great argument, honestly. It's a great argument. But the UFC Fight Night 117, St. Prue versus Okami.
Oh God, yeah. Sorry. I'm gonna resign immediately.
you're bang on, mate. There's no argument past that fight card. But it's three titles changing hands. But also the whole card had shocks all the way through. It had amazing wars. All that Madison Square, in fact, with the main card, sorry, had this just what happened over those 2 hours with that main card was something so special in mixed martial arts. And the fact that all the title fights made it with no injuries, no pullouts, all that around it, all the press, GSP coming back, taking the title, becoming the greatest of all time, in my eyes at least. And
then giving up the title after sort of 2 hours, going, no, sod that.
That's it.
No, I don't want this. Take it back.
You want me to fight who?
No, not doing that. Sorry. No. And then Dana giving the old, I'm absolutely fine with this. It's no biggie at all. I'm absolutely fine with this. Yeah, all right, mate. Yeah, of course you are.
Yeah, of course you are. What you have seen is Dana wearing a lot of long sleeves recently because he's doing a lot of self-harming. That's all I reckon. He's just sat in there just carving GSP into his arms.
How can he be fine with that? We're all a bit disappointed. You know, I'm not surprised because that's not his natural weight. And I don't think he fancies getting hit by those kind of weights. I think fair enough.
That's what I think. I think GSP doing it on his terms, coming back on his terms, and even Dana White saying, no, it's in his contract, he has to do that, and then GSP going, there's the title. We don't know what's happening next with him, but there's no surprises in the fact that he's not taking on that middleweight division, because let's face it. But apart from Michael Bisping,
let's be honest, Bisping's amazing, but he's a one-eyed guy. And he's going, listen, unless there's any more no-eyed guys, I ain't up for this middleweight stuff, okay? You got any blindos? Any news?
Send them in.
Any news on Matt Hughes? Is he ring ready yet?
Oh, mate. Merry Christmas, Matt Hughes.
Hey, listen, you know there's nothing but love from all of us to the great Matt Hughes. Oh, my point is, he doesn't want to be. But I tell you what it does give us. Wow. Lukey and Bobby Knuckles back in Australia, Perth, Knuckles. February next year, winner takes the belt. What a great fight.
Winner takes it all. Look, finally, GSP listens to Luke Rockhold. You don't want this. Get out of my division. You don't want that fight.
That amazing speech Lukey made.
Yeah.
The worst cage speech of the year is that.
How can somebody so physically perfect be so inept at speaking?
It's so bad. Just out of division, man, my way. What?
Yeah, what, you prick? You absolute knob jockey, what are you saying? Oh, but let's listen. Now, the flip side of that coin is he is facing Robert Whittaker, who has officially accepted not the Reaper, but Bobby Knuckles. In fact, if you go on his Sherdog, this could be the story of 2017 for me. He's now moved into, he's got two nicknames on Sherdog, which is the Reaper and Bobby Knuckles. But the fact he's even talking about it and welcoming it back into his life, that's a beautiful thing. Bobby Knuckles, long live the king.
Well, that leads us into then, we agreed that 2017 was card of the year, and there have been some great cards, especially in the last 6 months. Who is our fighter of the year?
Well, that does lead us into that. I mean, there's anyone who says it is anybody but this man is wrong. There are some great fighters. We've had Holloway do some amazing things, Johnson break the record, DJ Dillashaw reclaim his title, Whittaker become the middleweight. But George St. Pierre returning to the UFC, going up a division, taking on somebody, being the underdog going into that fight, getting a beating during that fight, looking like there was no way he could win, pulling out the victory, taking the belt, and then you said it earlier as well, just dropping the belt in front of Dana White and on his terms and saying, I'm not defending that. Whatever I do next is up to me. There is no greater argument, not just for Fighter of the Year, but for greatest fighter of all time.
Yeah, George, he's something else. To come back after no fights in 4 years, when so much of the sport has changed dramatically in the last 4 years, and to actually look, to have his boxing look sharper, to actually worked on his game in that time and progressed it somehow, despite no competitive action in 4 years, and then become a middleweight champion of the world, is sensational in anyone's book. He is fighter of the year.
He is fighter of the he's fighter of the decade. He's fighter of all time. He is amazing to do all of that, to climb that mountain, to come back, to step in, to go up a weight class, and then to pull the victory out in that fashion was that is a true MMA god.
Tying in second place for me, Bobby Knuckles. Right, I love Bobby Knuckles because I think he's my kind of fighter. He's a really, really, really technically smart striker. He's just great. That Yoel Romero fight, let's not forget what great fight that was. Basically, he was down to one leg, and he's a striker, and he beat Yoel Romero, which is incredible to be that strong, that smart, how he then has to make an adjustment when his knee's blowing out from that freak, just basically breaking it. It was an incredible fight. So he ties in second place with Rose for me. To come through all that kind of abuse she was getting, I mean, really, really scary, intimidating abuse in the run-up to her fight in 2017, and to stay calm, to stay level-headed, and to pull off that huge upset, one of the biggest upsets in the UFC, not just this year, ever. Rose and Bobby Knuckles tie in second place for me for Fighters of the Year.
That's it, yeah, I can go with that. I also think Holloway, obviously, just the victory finally cleaning up that division, so he is now seen as totally the champion of that division, and then also Tony Ferguson with claiming that lightweight belt as well. That there's for me, that where we stand now, and we'll talk about this as we get to the end of the thing, but where we stand now, we are in good shape for this show.
Oh, I can't wait for next year. So many great possible matchups next year. Well, okay.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, let's talk about then knockout of the year. There've actually been some really good knockouts this year. So there's been some fantastic ones. I was looking back at some of the films. There was the Overeem faceplant in Mark Hunt, Paul Daly's flying knee of Brennan Ward. For me,
yes,
Ngannou. I mean, just a horrific but amazing KO.
There's so much more than just that knockout. Now, again, the heavyweight division has sort of been stifled a little bit because we're missing stars. It used to be the heavyweights, and this is boxing as well, that was a division.
That was it.
That was the baddest man on the planet, and you'd fear him. Mike Tyson, even just watching him walk to the ring, you'd struggle to think, how does anyone get the nerves to step in the ring with him? And we've not had anybody like that. We've had Uberim come through USADA and change physically. We've not had anybody imposing or scary or where we go, wow, what is this man capable of? Or, who's going to bring him down? And you just watch Ngannou walk into the cage. You see the frame of the man, the size of the man, the trajectory he's gone on since he's joined the UFC. From nowhere. I'd never heard of Ngannou.
He's got a good story as well, yeah.
He's got a great story. And to say that he did what he did to Alistair Overeem, it wasn't just that knockout, that uppercut, which somehow, hopefully, Overeem's head is soon to return to earth.
But I think his head has landed in that Bellator heavyweight Grand Prix.
That's right. but now what that means, that knockout means, is we are now excited about January the
Stipe.
20th. Stipe.
I mean, Miocic, who's a great Stipe counterpuncher. Miocic. I mean, we're going to find out how good is. I mean, he's big. He knocked out Overeem. Overeem is chinny. He can be. However, not taken away, that was an amazing punch. I mean, an amazing punch.
Amazing punch. Overeem is without a doubt the most highly decorated and skilled striker.
He's a proper legend.
He's won a title in every single promotion he's fought in, from MMA, K1, and he is physically and technically without a doubt the most complete striker in the heavyweight division. One of the best strikers in MMA, and for Ngannou to go file for fire, and when you see that, when you see even in slow motion those shots that Overeem misses with his, and then Ngannou comes back.
It looks like Overeem's kind of moving out the way, and it's kind of a strange, it's not quite an uppercut. It kind of comes from a kind of a different kind of angle than a normal kind of uppercut coming up through the guard. But it's just a Polak. I mean, it's an electrifying stun gun of a knockout. As Joe Rogan kept sort of getting almost aroused, going, look at his feet all twisted like that. So, no, I don't like that, Mr. Rogan. But I hear you were an amazing actor. Were you once in Casualty, I believe? He was. He kept going, can we get a close up of that? No.
Can we get a close up?
Is he dead? It was horrific. The only way anyone's ever going to beat him, Brian, is by a really, really good counter puncher, a really strong puncher. Stipe's got, he knocks people out while he's going backwards. Look what he's done before. Yeah. I mean, who knows? But I can't wait to see
exactly
that fight.
But that's what that knockout means. It means we are now excited about the heavyweight division and the potential of having our, and I'm using these quotes in the air, Mike Tyson of our generation coming through. That's what we want. We want the heavyweight generation to be that scary, what the hell, how does anybody face a human like that? And Ngannou has the whole package, but he's going up against Stipe Miocic, who is one of the baddest men on the planet, but also, yeah, like you said, that counter striker, which is, if you do the MMA maths, which is a crazy thing to do, but if you do it, he might have the style to knock Ngannou off that.
Well, you're just so excited about that fight. I mean, I can't remember a heavyweight fight that I was more excited about since it's up there with JDS and Prime Cain Velasquez. Do you remember how exciting it was?
Yeah.
Where
could
you could make a case for either of these two to walk away with the belt.
Yeah, yeah, exactly that. Exactly. Like, there's. I'll think about the fight, and one way I think there's no way Ngannou's going to lose, and then I'll think about it, and I think there's no way Stipe can lose. It's so good, and it's great. Again, it's that thing that now 2018 is coming, and that to be one of the first cards of the year. That is a headline that Stipe Miocic is defending his belt against Ngannou. That is tantalising, and it is a great way to kick off 2018.
We're doing for submission of the year. I have to go for, much rather than Ortega was an incredible guillotine, and he's a proper submission artist. For me, though, it's Demetrius Johnson. What he did against Borg was incredible. That's a real kind of, that's real artistry and flair. It's a bit of transition like that. I still think that's my favourite submission of the year.
Oh, without that, mate, we're bang on the same page. So I've put, as honorary mentions, Brett Johns with his calf slicer. Horrible reverse guillotine that is going around the internet at the minute. Have you seen that with the from the China? So there's that. I don't know. Somebody called it a dragon something. I don't know what the exact name for it is. But
I think that's something you and Frank Mir get up to. No, that's not the old dragon position. Right. The dragon wheelbarrow, isn't it? Is that the one with you? Anyway, we don't need to go into that now.
Demetrius Johnson, the ingenuity of it, the time in the fight it was to take that risk, to pull off that move, that is without a doubt the submission of the year.
Yeah, it's a proper, like, you know, he's, when he does something like that, he's like a kind of Jimi Hendrix. They're a virtuoso. There's just something amazing about what they do as well. In terms of, I got like a couple of thoughts on exciting prospects for next year. Obviously, Francis Ngannou, and also, I think, from this country, Darren Till.
Darren Till is one of the standouts. He's got the mouth. He's got that dual marketability, as far as he's got that Brazilian, the Scouse Brazilian that he can talk, and as well as the European, the UK side that is really getting behind him as well. That's what I'm liking as well. He feels like a fighter that, and it's again, this question always comes up when you see someone come to the end of their career, like Michael Bisping, you go, well, who's going to pick up the mantle? Somebody always emerges. The mystery and the beauty of this sport, and Darren Till is that person that is riding really fast. That win over Cowboy Cerrone, his speeches, what he does.
Also, do you know what, Brian? He looks really big. He looks like a guy who can...
Massive, mate.
He's really tall and long, and I can easily see him going up to middleweight and even light heavyweight. I think he's got a really exciting future ahead of him.
Yeah, he's so exciting with that style he's got as well. He's had one test with Cowboy Cerrone. There's more tests that are going to come. Cause you can feel the UFC starting to put their money behind him as well. They were teasing us with the thought of a Wonderboy Thompson and Darren Till fight happening just a few weeks after. Was that weeks after or before? The already announced UFC London card, so you can tell the UFC are getting behind them, and it's rare you can feel that with the UFC. They get it wrong so often nowadays, but with this one, I think Darren Till could be flying the flag for us for a very long time.
What do you think is your story of the year? What's the big takeaway for this year?
Well, we've sort of touched on it slightly, but I think it was what made the water muddy was the Maymac. The whole thing around that has had a huge effect on the start of the year, and just the fact it happened, the way it came about, the media melee that followed with the world tour that they went on, us being there in the London one as well, feeling that atmosphere, feeling how special that event was. But the other side of it is the effect, the knock-on effect it is already having with regards to blocking up divisions. So McGregor looks like he is going to fight Manny Pacquiao next year.
But that's Brian, what do you think about that? I'm not interested. We bought into the hype. And actually on this show,
mate,
really went to town for that guy.
Mate, I've got a website selling wolf tickets for that show that is still accepting money. That's the fact. But
Pacquiao coming out of retirement, I don't care. Pacquiao isn't the draw anymore that he used to be. It's like,
not at all.
He needs to come back to the UFC, but I guess it's hard for him to be motivated now to picking up, 5 or 6 million, which is still huge money. But yeah, when he's got 100 million in his bank account and he could possibly get, I don't know what they're talking about, 25, 30, 35 at least for fighting Manny Pacquiao, I guess it's like, and then why doesn't he go to WWE? Because I think it's a tricky thing. I think his brand right now is where he needs it to be. If he comes back to the UFC, I think it's really hard fights for him. And I can't guarantee that he even wins if he goes up against some of the beasts who are now, have spent this year fighting in the cage and are now better.
Yeah, yeah, he is moving into a world of his own, and he's called it all the way through the McGregor Mayweather press conference is half a fight, and that's how he sees it. Boxing is half a fight for him. He's not getting kicked in the head. His body is not taking a training camp where he is getting wrestled and grappled and submitted or doing all that. It's half a fight. That's half the fight he's training for more than 3-4 times the money. So if we learn anything from McGregor and his rise, yes, he's an amazing martial artist. I am a massive fan, but he is a businessman. He is somebody who is in it for the money. He is somebody who wants, if you see all the pictures, the Lamborghinis, the fancy houses, the all that sort of stuff, he's in it for that. And that's those fights, unfortunately, they don't interest us, but they will make him the money that will set him up and may mean that we never see him fight in that octagon again, which is another travesty of off the back of this story of the year of mine, which is the fact that he actually boxed Mayweather.
Yeah, it has to be. It was the biggest story in boxing and MMA and the UFC. It was the biggest story. It's the breakout story, and now he's possibly fighting Manny Pacquiao, which is just bizarre. It's nuts. God. Absolutely insane.
Oh, mate,
I really want to see him fight in the UFC. If you could make him fight anyone in the UFC, who would you like to see him fight?
That's a straight up Tony Ferguson.
Yeah,
straight up, straight in there. Let's get that fight on. That is
him versus El Kakui. El Kakui can use those wraparound shades, last seen in The Matrix in '98. He can fight in them.
He'll ankle pick him in the weigh-ins. He'll do all that. He'll have Fabricio Verdum in his corner for it. Colby Covington will be his Iceman. That is the fight. That is it.
Yeah, it
technically
is.
We want to see, mate, we know that's the best weight for McGregor. He has done amazing things in our sport. He has changed the world of MMA in the short time he's been in it, and that is the fight we need to make. But the fight he will take, the fight that will happen, the fight that we are inevitably going to be talking about and watching will be McGregor versus Pacquiao, which is absolutely gutting.
Ludicrous. And I tell you now, right, if that fight happens, you look back, I've rewatched the Maymac fight a couple of times, right, and you realise he was carried for those rounds, okay? It's so obvious, yeah. Right? You almost had him. Did you see that uppercut? Who's done that to him in the last couple of years? Wow. Those punches he landed.
Hey, next round's on me, fellas. Come on, but no, it's if you.
I think Manny Pacquiao, Bri, busts him up in about three rounds. I think I think even though he hasn't been fought in 2 years and he's not his prime anymore, I still think he'd just kick the shit out of Conor. I don't think he'd have any truck with carrying him for 10 rounds and then getting rid of him.
Yeah, and then we can really get on to talking about McGregor versus Amir Khan, because that's the fight, mate.
What's happened to Paulie Malignaggi? That's the one we want, isn't it? Come on. Lest we forget. I've got some emails, actually, to share with you, right, of other people's reviews of the year. This is from Donna, one of the first people to ever email the show back in, like, episode 2. Her review of the year, her fight of the year, she went for Justin Gaethje versus Michael Johnson, which was a great barn burner of a fight.
Yeah,
Gaethje's debut in the UFC as well. Yeah. I love
that.
Her fight of the year is Holloway, 12 fight winning streak, won the strap, beat Aldo. Submission, she's gone same for us with Mighty Mouse and the armbar combo. Her KO, Mike Perry versus Jake Ellenberger, standing elbow.
Brutal. That's a great shout, Donna. Awesome stuff.
Also, she's gone for knockout. Hers is Paul Daly versus Brennan Ward, the one I touched on with that flying knee, which is just horrendous.
Yeah, that's brutal as well. That's a great shout. Yeah, and also a Brit in there as well. Good to see.
Now, who's your hero? Who's your villain of 2017?
So Hero is something, and somehow these stories just pop up recently, but it just caught my eye, caught my heart, and I've heard a lot of good things about this man in the gym, in and around the gym. He's been around the sport. He is now the longest-serving UFC fighter, and he stepped out of the octagon for a super fight of his own, Diego Sanchez.
Oh, come on, I've got him as well, the fight with the Down syndrome lad.
That's right. So this young man he's been working with for years, and he's been training with him and making him part of his life. And you can see it works two ways. You can see there's true love there, and the fact he gave him the opportunity to put those skills out there, to step into a cage, armbarred Diego Sanchez. And by the way, when he did do it, I think he did genuinely hyperextend his arm. So for Diego to do that, and somebody you just see, you picture Diego Sanchez as somebody covered in blood in wars.
He's just such a warrior, isn't he? I mean, he's never not looking 100% intense and like a loon. He just loves to fight. He's 100% in every fight.
He's commits to everything. He's truly passionate about what he does. But what you don't see about these fighters is that you picture that as his personality. He must be a wild man. He must be an animal. He is a true ambassador of this sport in every sense. He gives it all in the cage, and what he gives outside the cage that we don't even see and we don't even know about. And I've heard talk when people have gone over to Jackson Winks and young fighters have gone over there, they've talked about how welcoming he is, how much work he does, the effort he makes to say hello to people, no matter where you are in your career, whether you're there just to train for fun or you're there as a pro fighter, and that just tops it off for me. It was a heartwarming story, and off the back of all the stuff we've seen with McGregor off his face, jumping in a cage, chasing people around, with John Jones crashing into pregnant ladies and failing drug tests, with all that stuff around, these are the people that we should be really celebrating. So Diego Sanchez, my hero of the year.
I'm going to say Diego Sanchez, because the same story I thought was an amazing story, and what a big-hearted guy to do that, to give that lad that moment in there as well. It was his life goal. Beautiful. To fight in the cage. Beautiful. And to do that. And also, do you know what I really like? There's a photo from it where Diego is still in his fighting stance in the cage, doing that terrifying. He's not mucking around. He's still Diego. You lock him in that cage, he's still Diego. And I'm like, wow. I was scared just looking at the photo.
That poor kid almost backed out. But you're quite right. He gave it all. He gave that kid that moment. But I'm sure he enjoyed it just as much. That was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful, mate.
The other person I had for an honourable mention in Hero of the Year is big Derek Lewis. Big Derek Lewis rescuing people in that big old truck of his. Not only does he put a beat down on Travis Brown when, to be honest, Derek was out on his feet, you know, and he had that big old plate of ribs before the fight and said afterwards he just needed a big shit. That's where that front kick hurt like that. He actually said that afterwards. Said he just needed a big poo. At the end, I think it's in between round one and two. He actually looks like he's sat on there sweating so heavily. He looks like he's waiting for the menu. The service in here is shit.
When they offer him a stool, he goes, no, I can't sit down right now. When I take a seat, man, I'm seriously. It's about to go Justine Kish in here.
But rescuing people during the floods, you know, even Confederates and racists and stuff like that, just with that, I thought that's an incredible thing to do. And also, not only just beating Travis Brown, but also saying about him, calling him to task as well, about the allegations as well. I think Derek Lewis is another contender, but Diego for me. In terms of the villain for me, villain of the year, there's been way too much homophobia. And it's 2017. It doesn't make the sport look great. It doesn't make the sport look like what it's full of, which is some of the people we've talked about, all these big-hearted people, these really intelligent fighters like GSP and Rose and TJ Dillashaw. When you've still got that in any other sport, if you've been rumoured to be being homophobic and you're a player on the football pitch, you'll miss games. They stamp down on that, and they should do, because you're a role model. You're lucky to earn that money. You're in a privileged position. Yeah. There are thousands of people who want your place. The same in the UFC. It's on camera. It goes around the world, and there are idiots that find that stuff funny still, and you're endorsing it. They should be kicked off cards. I don't know how, don't care how big they are. It's, I think the sport's bigger than that now, and I think it's terrible that they still carry on with it, and it's just kind of written off as banter leading up to a fight. It's not that.
It's not that at all, mate. And you're absolutely right. It's not just the sport that needs to stamp down it, but the promotions. They need to step up. And no matter who says it, no matter how much of a star they are, no matter what the potential is, it's the message you are sending, not just to this generation of fans, but that is, you're setting a tone. You are setting an absolute tone and precedent for the days to come. And for me, that the fact that it's happened so often, almost once every 2 months, somebody said something, and it just needs to be stopped, mate. It's 2017. This is a wonderful, amazing sport. We live in a fantastic and beautiful, wonderful world, not getting all hippie and Christmas on you. But the promotions do need to do exactly what you said. But when somebody does something like that, the ramifications need to absolutely signal that we're not standing for it. And in 2017, that message is not something that we will associate ourselves with, no matter how big a star or an athlete you are.
For our listeners, the number one villain of the year is I've seen nothing but one name, John Jones.
Yes, well, that's mine, mate.
Is it?
You've talked about that. I was actually going to talk about McGregor as well, just because of what is happening, and we've sort of touched on it with the ramifications from his fight with Mayweather. But John Jones for me, mate. John Jones.
Genuinely heartbreaking for him and us as well, because we all bought into that story of redemption.
Everything, it felt like that corner had been turned, and also because of the talent, we were all itching to see what he is capable of, and we've had glimpses of absolute genius. Some of the most amazing moments in the sport have been down to that man, but some of the only person that has taken it away from him is himself, and that is the story of John Jones, not just through this year, but for the last few years. And it's sad that he is not just wasting his talent for himself, but also for what he could be the greatest. He should be the greatest of all time.
No, you know, you're right there. The emphasis is right. He should be. He's got more natural skill, and that kind of, where did he even get that from, than any other fighter? Now we talk about GSP. His is a more athletic learn. He's also got so much natural skill as well. But John Jones does something else that you've never seen done before.
Yeah, he did things all the way through his career that made your jaw drop, that suddenly you saw the potential, physical potential of what was capable, or people could be capable of in the cage. You also just saw him eat up every single opponent that went through him, no matter what they would do. He destroyed his opponents, and just the rise was amazing, but the fall he's been on over the last few years, I think it's the saddest story of our sport.
Yeah, it is.
The fact that John Jones has wasted that. Because it's likely, very likely, he will not be back for 4 years. 4 years minimum. And then
we don't even know if he's going to come back, and what happens to him in the next 4 years. If he has trouble focusing, you know, when he's got this going on, and fights and another chance, a second shot in life, and then something happens to that and he screws that up. I don't know if he will be back in 4 years' time.
Yeah, that question, the what if, will always be hung over his head. And it makes him a villain, but as somebody, as a fan, it makes me really sad that we are not getting to see the best years of John Jones in that cage.
I want to give honourable mentions here to three commentators who've been outstanding this year. Brian and I, we are ultimate couch fans. Another one of us is Daniel Cormier. I mean, what a great commentator. Oh. Just a joy. I get happy when DC's there. You know it's going to be a fun hang. He's so excitable. He's us. He's, you know, he's a great fighter.
Did you just say it's going to be a fun hang?
Yeah, sorry. I'm 21 and at high school in Arizona.
When you're watching the UFC, you send the tweet, I go, I'm hanging with Joe Rogan and DC, right? You know you're not hanging. You do know that, don't you?
I feel like I'm hanging in my front room with my homies, okay?
with you, okay, mate, okay. Listen, he is a good hang. He's one of the best hangs.
He's one of the best hangs. Right, now you come around to it.
Listen.
You'll be saying it. That ACB fight in Moscow, you were going, Frank, it's great to hang with you again. All right, let's hang with the fighters.
The other DC, who's brilliant as well, is Dominic Cruz, and I really like the work he's been doing. We talked about Paul Felder earlier, who's just a natural broadcaster, but one of my highlight in the commentary this year was this when Paul Felder called something out during a fight when they were calling it together, and Dominic Cruz just said, "Nice call, Felder." That was, I got goosebumps thinking about that. I dream one day Dominic Cruz is going to say that to me. And then Luke Rockhold's there. We're hanging together. We're going for bubble teas. It's lovely.
If Paul Felder had a tail, I reckon it would have just been wagging so much when Dominic Cruz gave him that little compliment.
Huh?
It was great. Dominic Cruz, he also argues with Joe Rogan. That's one of the things I like. He's one of the few commentators like DC and Joe Rogan. They're hanging. They're really hanging.
Well, you know why? They come from that strong acting tradition as well. You know, they're all at RSC together. I think that's where they met originally.
That's right. That's it. They did tour for a little while.
They did.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Vicar, Where's Your Trousers? That Tom Stoppard play that they did in the West End at the Lyric, I think, for 6 weeks. Now let's talk about 2000. Before we go, then 2018. What do you want for next year? I think it's time for Bisping to step down from fighting. I really do. And seeing his two losses, he fought too quickly. We all know that now. I'm sure even he thinks that too. And even his coach Jason Perillo said he wants to have a sit down with him over the new year and work out, you know, when's it time to call it a day? And it can't just be that you're just still hanging in there because the money's great. I'd like to see Bisping have one last stand here in London in the new year. But I think it's time for Bisping to retire on his trusty shield.
Yeah, he's given so much, man. He's given so much to the British fans. The whole journey of Michael Bisping from getting subtitled on the first Tough series or the second Tough series, all the way through to becoming the most unlikely world champion that possibly we've ever expected. It's amazing. He's one of the best promoters of fights. The work he's doing out there, he's great on Fox Sports when you watch.
Well, he was about a week after, you know, getting knocked out again, he was working the desk for the Holloway fight, wasn't he? He was working the desk for that.
And he's got his podcast as well. He does all that stuff, and you're right. That will be a beautiful moment. Him to step into London, get the reception, the adoration he really deserves for all he's done for the sport, and that should be, when you talk about fighters stepping down at the right time, that's his moment. They won't be back in London for another year, so it's very unlikely that he will he will get the opportunity. So it's almost forced upon him. It's similar to when Brad Pickett had to retired in London. That day came up, and I think exactly the same for Bisping. I think he needs to see that opportunity, really grab it, and really enjoy that moment because he deserves it. He really deserves a great send-off because he's been amazing.
What other hopes would you want from the UFC next year? Obviously, we both agree we'd like Conor to come back and fight, but
outside of that, I think with Conor coming back to fight, my aim, my hope, my dreams for 2018 are that the belts become what they should be, and that is something special. That is something that a champion means something, whereas all this super fight stuff that is bouncing around, it's fun. I'm a fan. I'll watch any fight, to be honest, but what I really want is to get back to those belts meaning something. The divisions are now set to so that they can. We've got some rising stars coming through. We've got amazing champions in each division. Now full champions. There's no interim champions anymore. So for me, that is something that I hope comes to fruition. That those belts that everybody dreams about when they're training, when they first start MMA, that they dream about that moment that they get a belt around their waist. That becomes. It gets back to that.
I think it's naturally going that way now. The only big super fight I want next year is Demetrius Johnson versus TJ. I'd love to see that happen. I hope it really happens.
Yeah.
Because I think if you look at the lightweight divisions, featherweight divisions, welterweight, middleweight, heavyweight, The only one missing out there is because what's going to happen with the light heavyweight. But anyway, just those three, those divisions I mentioned, they're all stacked really deep in talent now, and really exciting fights. The top five, even the top ten, and all those divisions, they're really deep in talent, and there's loads of great fights to happen next year from all of those weight classes.
Yeah, and as long as Dillashaw drops down to 125, he says he wants that belt, he says he wants to fight Demetrius in his weight class, then that makes it a legitimate fight, because apart from Henry Cejudo, who is re-established...
He's getting better all the time.
...as the number one contender, always getting better, but he fought him so not that long ago, that it's too soon for them to redo that fight. That makes perfect sense to me, but yeah, all these other belts, let's do what they used to do, build the contenders, give the belt the kudos, the credence that it deserves, and then let's find out who's the best in each weight class. And then things happen naturally. You get those rising stars, you get the momentum, you get the stories. It all follows suit when you keep on track, and there's that one goal, that gold belt round your waist.
All right, buddy. Listen, have a safe trip on to Moscow and then back home. I will see you in the new year. Enjoy this weekend's fight. It's been great fun doing the show with you this year as well, buddy.
Oh, it's been awesome. It's one of my favourite things. So, Merry Christmas to you. Congratulations as well, mate, on all the success with your book. If people don't know about that, you should. The Radio Boy is
a perfect place to plug it on a very violent podcast. You know, because a lot of people listen to this thinking, yeah. I hope we're going to pick up a good children's book at the end. What we do you want next year? More extreme violence. Make sure you buy my children's book, Radio Boy. Have a great Christmas, everyone.
Hey, listen, mate, it's been great hanging with you,
Ali. Oh, you fucker. All right, bye. Take care, mate. I'll see you in the new year.
Take care.
See you, mate. Bye.
You.
All right, thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Sorry we haven't been in action over the last couple of weeks. There'll be another one next week, a little Christmas and New Year one. It will be the Real Karate Kid, 15-year-old Samster, the Real Karate Kid, his review of the year. Also, what I'll do is I'll go through some of yours as well. So if you want to email me, I will go through a load of your emails, your fights of the year, any unusual categories that we haven't covered as well, your knockouts of the year, what you'd like to see next year. Email me, oc@ultimatecouchfans.com. If you enjoyed it, spread the word and have a great Christmas and New Year. Thanks for supporting the show. Us.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.